Hey everybody, it's Joanna. Hope you're doing well. We are here for our third of three calls in, I'm just bringing up my outline here. Hold on a second. What are we doing? In getting people to your retreats. And in parentheses, your one-on-one work. So this is the third class. And today, so far each week I've been sharing strategies to how to bring people into your retreats and your one-on-one work. I've been sharing a lot of strategies, and today I'm going to share a few more. But my intention for today is to really also hear more from you. All of the Q&A so far has been so great on this topic. What I really want is for you guys to be in action, right, in bringing people to your retreats, to your workshops, to your one-on-one, to your offerings. And these three calls have been meant kind of like inspiration and brainstorming calls for you, to generate different ideas and pick and choose from what I'm sharing and to adapt in your own ways. The only thing not that I really recommend, don't pick and choose this one, just pick this one, is the individual outreach. I feel like that's so important and all the steps I laid out for that. But, I'm sharing a lot of different things. They're not meant to be done all at once or even not all meant to be done. But anyway, I'll be sharing more with you, but I want to hear a lot from you today on what you need. What are some more details that you need? What are questions that you have? Where are you getting stuck? All of that. So we'll have time for that at the beginning of the call, and then at the end, and then I'll share some more strategies, and then we'll have some time hopefully at the end of the call as well. So to get us started, what are the actions that you have been taking? So, over the last few weeks, so we think about over the last 2 weeks, we spoke about individual outreach. We spoke about referrals. We spoke about informational interviews. We spoke about preview presentations. We spoke about guerrilla marketing in the sense of taking lots of different actions, Facebook, calling people, all these different things, right? So what are some of the actions that you've been taking? And along with that, what is it that you want to celebrate? So celebration, either actions that you've been taking, I've done XYZ, or results that you may have seen. It's resulted in a prospect conversation or this person coming to this or reconnecting with that. Or celebration can also be an inner piece, right? Like, I feel way more ready to be doing outreach. I feel more comfortable when I'm outreaching. I'm actually excited to do a preview workshop, which I was never excited for before, right? So name a couple of celebrations from the last few weeks, inner or outer. What do you really want to honor and acknowledge around your efforts and your work, inner and outer? And there's always a celebration, right? Even if you haven't actually taken action, but you feel more ready to take action, or you're actually considering taking action, right? There is always a celebration. There is always some kind of forward movement, I promise you. We mess ourselves up a lot because we override that, right? We don't see where and how we're moving forward. We just expect that forward movement to look only one way, and then when it doesn't, we don't think we've moved forward at all, when in fact we have been. Because we're always evolving. We are always moving forward. So even if it feels like a stretch, just really at least one or two things, acknowledge and celebrate. And then from there, what are some actions that you've wanted to take but haven't? And why? And that can be inner or outer, the why, right? Outer, because I don't know how, and I want to ask Joanna this detail. Or it might be inner, you know, because I have this obstacle or this fear, and I want to talk it out for a moment, right? So what are some of the actions you've wanted to take but haven't? And why? And with that, I see we already have hands raised. Yeah, I'd love to hear questions, celebrations, takeaways. What is it that you're needing? Carolyn.
Hey, Joanna. The big thing for me is I am waiting for my event planner. So not a celebration, more of a, you're asking where I could get stuck. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for my event planner to come back with quotes and bids and budgets so we can put together what the, you know, whether or not the retreat is going to move forward. And so we know like how much we'd be charging. So I'm kind of in a standstill right now in terms of that and don't want to put my time into, I've been doing lists, but yep. I have not put time into reaching out to people, just more in conversation. Like this, you know, this is something I'm going to be planning for the year. But I'm not putting any real effort or time into inviting people or anything like that until I know what my costs are going to be and whether or not it's going to make sense and I actually have a price point for it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Is that ridiculous or is that an excuse?
Well, okay, so I'll tell you where my mind went while you were talking, and this may or may not resonate for you. Where I went was, so that's reasonable, but at the same time, if I really wanted to put this event on, and I know that Portugal has special meaning to you and you're excited about that, but if I really wanted to spend a couple of days creating community and creating transformational experience for women who are ready for reinvention, even if it wouldn't work out in Portugal, I'll do it locally. Like it's something that I would want to do because it's where I'm going. It's who I want to be connecting with. It's the impact I want to be making. And so even if I would be putting off doing the outreach, I would start creating some of the template letters, you know, I would be putting some energy and focus into the visioning either way, because I'd want it to be real no matter where it was. I don't know if that resonates for you.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I could be doing templates and things like that. I am, I could do that.
Okay. Yeah, so I'd say, you know, you can move forward on that, and then once you hear from your retreat planner, you'll know if you're moving forward with Portugal or you're moving forward maybe with another location. Great. Okay. Who is this? 2809. I feel like I should know.
Hi, Joanna. It's Connie.
Hi.
Hi. I'd love to celebrate a woman who contacted me, I think it was over the weekend, and she inquired about my Shasta retreat, and I gave her a little bit of information, and she and her mom signed up and enrolled.
Yay!
And yay! And I didn't do anything.
Nice.
She just kind of found me, and I asked her how she found me, and she was looking for spiritual retreats. But here's the thing, I'm running into resistance. I haven't secured a retreat location yet for this year, and I haven't sent out invitations yet for this year's retreat. I haven't set a price point yet, and it's because for the past 3 years, I feel like women have been enrolling because Shasta is a destination retreat. And this year, I'm really wanting to delve more into the heroine's journey that you mentioned, but I don't know. I don't quite know what that is.
Yeah.
And so that's why I haven't moved forward, because I feel like some of the women this year that are signing up are new to Shasta, so they really just want that Shasta experience. Mm-hmm. And then there are some returning participants, yeah, who have gone for 3 years now, and yeah, I really want to bring in more depth.
Yeah. So first of all, because Shasta is such a destination and has been like a big point of value for, you know, people to come in the past, don't underplay it. Continue. That's a resource for you. I wouldn't underplay it. You know, you wanna promote it alongside the depth and the heroine's journey and all of that, but I just want to make sure that I say that. Don't eliminate that from your marketing. It's working, so continue to use it. Okay. In order to identify the heroine's journey, you know, I'll make available for everyone in Sacred Depths, maybe not all of Curriculum Lab, but I'll make the first training call of Curriculum Lab available. Because it'll be like just a more complete training on starting to lay out the journey. So you can listen to that. But for now, I'll just share. It's actually similar to what I was sharing with Carolyn last week. You know, where you want to start with this is you want to identify where, for the woman that's coming, where do I want her to end up? What is the end point? It's actually very similar in Sacred Depths. We were talking about strategizing today. It's a similar, yes, concept, right? So where is her end goal? You know, all of the people, I mean, obviously everybody has they're all, you know, unique individuals and human beings. It's going to be a little different for each of them. But like as a group, where do you want them to end up? And get really clear and articulate on that vision for them. By the end of the treat, where do you want them to be? And then from there, say, okay, well, where are they starting, you know, generally, and then articulate where they're starting. And then from there, you're going to have a start point and an end point for the retreat. And then you want to fill in like those markers that I was talking about in the strategizing call today. Where's the first marker? Where's the second marker? That's the journey. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yes, it makes total sense. I'm just not sure yet of the end point, just because, like I said, some of the women, the end point for them would be just being in Shasta and the energies of it and just connecting to, you know, like the Ascended Masters and their own intuition. For the ones, the returning participants who are a little bit more accustomed to those energies, it might be more of their self-expression. They're more entrepreneurial in nature.
Uh-huh.
So using those energies for,
yeah, so
forward.
I would have as the end point both, right? Feeling a deep connection,
okay,
to the Ascended Masters, taking in that archetypal energy. And then, I'm sorry, I just lost the second piece you said for the more entrepreneur, the self-expression and feeling more self-expressed. And then even just articulate what that means. Like, does that mean ready to write more authentically? Does that mean, you know, ready to post more on Facebook? Whatever it is, there might be different examples. Get clear on that. And then go back to the starting point. Now, it sounds like for the starting point, you're going to have two different groups of people. Some people that maybe are a little more connected to the masters than others. So then the question is, for the new people, is, you know, it might be that they may have a little pre-work to do before they get to the retreat, or it might be just a beautiful review for everyone to spend, you know, a part of the retreat in the beginning, kind of getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah,
that's right. So those are some of the things you want to be thinking about. Sound good?
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Amelia.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to celebrate that this morning, I woke up really early and I like wrote a shit ton of blogs and client success stories. And feeling really pumped and confident, in a way that I haven't felt in a long time. And this is helping me get a million steps closer to finally releasing my self-love archetype quiz that I created.
It's so good.
Yeah, like I, when you, like, cause one of the things you offered was to like bridge the result to like what I can do. And I wrote success stories and I just was like, oh my God, like this is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really, really good. And, right now I also just want to call that like where I'm stuck. Like I know that I'm taking a lot of action and building a lot of confidence and like, coming out of winter, but I do wish I had the ability to like actually take the action and reach out for enrollment calls. But at the same time, I think I'm okay with where I'm at for now, just to be really gentle with myself. And as I'm going through this, like it's still like an evolution. Like I'll be like relaunching everything in a whole new way.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Yeah, so I love that you have, like, you're so self-aware that you can see that, like, right now may not be the moment. How are you going, let me see, what question do I want to ask you here? What is going to be required, like, what's needed for you to arrive to the moment of being ready to do the outreach for calls? What's required? What's going to be needed?
I think definitely from an inner standpoint, I need to let go of, like, historically how I've had this, like, it's like a desperation almost to, like, an attachment to a result versus coming from a place of I'm just really excited and empowered to help whoever is ready to be helped instead of, like, place of trying to prove that I can help people and,
yep.
like, chasing people who aren't ready
yep.
to be helped, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. So that's so great that you can identify those. I'd say those are the next places to work on for yourself, like in your journaling. Those would be the next places you want to work on, right? Releasing, like, the expectation, like, the, you know, so that you can get more ready to start reaching out for calls.
Okay.
Good. Good. All right. Tina.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So, I just hosted this past Saturday, I hosted my New Year Goddess Circle, and it was actually really great. We got 13 women enrolled, and so that's a huge celebration for me because I totally thought I was going to get like 5, maybe 6, because our last one, we bombed. We only got like 2 people, and me and
but
my
you
co-partner.
Took all of those actions. You told us last week, like,
you
did it. You made it happen.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it totally freaking worked. I individually text. I sent newsletters, this, that. And I'll tell you, this is a celebration, and then I'll get to the part that I need a little bit of help on. I asked every single person how they came into the circle, like what got them. I literally asked each individual person. And 4 people got into the circle from a newsletter that I sent to my patient base, which I listened to because I was in resistance, mm-hmm. and I was like, there's no way anybody's going to want to, like, come to this, like, whatever, whatever. Well, 4 people did, and
yeah.
I hadn't seen this one patient in, like, 6 years. It was so
yeah.
crazy.
Beautiful.
So that was like, a huge aha. Like, don't ever yeah. underestimate somebody that you've known years ago, right?
Nope.
Yeah. And like, and then there was, the venue is a big deal because I noticed the venues that I went that don't have any email lists, or, you know, following, they actually blasted also for marketing on their end, and I got four people from them as mm-hmm. well. Yeah. So I noticed the venue has a big, well, not a big hand, but it can be helpful, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about
a little bit. Okay, I don't want to take too much time. But so anyway, so it was great. But there was a lot of things that also went wrong. So I'll tell mm-hmm. you the biggest thing that I'm really struggling with in the aftermath is my co-leader completely took over, and I didn't even get to teach my part, if you can imagine. So, yeah. So it was because she was – God.
Wait, I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
I really want to answer your question, except I feel like it's a little off topic.
Okay, no problem.
From getting people to your stuff. But
gotcha.
I know it's important, and this whole, when you're working with co-leaders, there's shadow yeah. stuff that comes up and different pieces.
Yeah.
So let's find a way to get that answered, but just because of
no
time
problem.
Right now, not
for
not.
Sure.
Okay.
For sure. For okay, sure. Good. But thank you for all of the support and the help, because I think that made it a big, big difference, because I tried four different okay. avenues in getting to people.
So happy to hear it. Big celebrations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yay, yay. Good. Heather.
Hey, Joanna. So I guess I have a couple of things to celebrate. I have a new client. Exciting. That kind of came
yeah.
out of nowhere.
It didn't come out of nowhere, though, because whether it's directly from the actions you took or not, you've been shifting your energy, you've been taking some actions. And
exactly.
The,
I mean, I started talking to her. I had a question about, you know, this, mm-hmm. my workshop and who I was targeting towards, and I thought, you know, I've never talked to this person before, but
yes,
she's friends with friends of mine.
You.
I thought, just talk to you.
Yeah. Yes, that is the power of the informational interview that I was talking about a couple sessions ago. I'm so happy to
mm-hmm.
hear it today.
Yeah, but it was interesting. You know, being face-to-face, I was able to gauge her reaction, and mm-hmm. I noticed the point at which she seemed like she perked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, so let's
good.
Talk more about that.
Good.
So, yeah, that was really cool. And also, I'm even nervous just even thinking about this next thing. I applied to be a keynote or workshop presenter at a women's conference that's happening on International Women's Day.
Nice.
And I feel like I've bitten off more than I can chew, but it's just going to have to be what it is.
I think your inner wisdom applied. Your inner wisdom knows more than your mind does in this moment.
Apparently. So, and then there are two places that I'm getting stuck. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, why haven't I done these individual outreach emails? I've got the lists. I haven't written the templates, and that's where I got stuck. That I'm realizing, you know, when we talked about writing those templates, there were two categories that you really presented as, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the tier one is your ideal client, and then tier two is referrals. And I really have very few that I could put into the ideal client, just because the subject matter, like, of my workshop is so personal. It's, you know, about women who are transitioning. And honestly, I have not talked to so many of these people on that level that I don't know where they're at. Like, there's a few people who are really, like, out there about, like, what's going on in their lives just via Facebook. But the other ones, I don't know. So it's like I've got this category that's in between where I don't really know exactly how to approach them. Like, I think you might be perfect for this, but if you're not, could you refer people? So I'm not sure how to navigate that exactly.
I think exactly the way you just said it, right? So
mm-hmm.
reaching out, because I have this sense that this is really perfect for you. And, you know, so
mm-hmm.
you can do it one of two ways. You can just do it as that kind of tier one individual outreach, And then if they come back and they're like, no, this isn't me so much, you can say, okay, you know, I thought, but I wasn't sure. I'm so glad you're letting me know. Do you know anyone? You know, I know I thought of you for a reason. Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone? Right. So to me, that would maybe be the preferred way to do it, so that you're first just – because people will have the – if you do both at the same time, they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's not for me. Let me, right? So,
right.
But if that doesn't feel right, then you can do it all at once, and you can say, like, I think this is you, but, you know, and then at the end of the letter, you can say, you know, P.S., if this isn't, do you, I have a sense you might know someone. I know I'm thinking about you for a reason, right? So you could do it one of those two ways.
Okay. Good idea. And I have one other issue. Sorry, I'm like typing this up. So I haven't reached out to the local event space yet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is hanging on, you know, I spoke last week about how there were some changes that I wanted to implement in my marketing. Like I'm rewriting some things because suddenly things have become more clear to me in a way. And there are so many elements to that. And, you know, one of the things it has to do with rewriting that I do see this. I know this actually happens, but I often lose the energy of excitement of the first draft as I rework it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that I've noticed I'm really, like, my entire life, I'm 47 years old, my entire life, I've been a huge procrastinator. Like, I would write a 10-page research paper the night before.
Yep.
And that's how I approached everything. So now having all of this lead time, like, oh, I've got 2 months. I don't want to wait until the last minute, but that's really the only way I know how to do things. Otherwise, I get, I don't know, freaked out. I get obsessive about the little details of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a weird place to be. So I think that's why I haven't, even though I've gotten things written down for this new marketing, I haven't put it all together yet. I haven't set out a timeline of when I'm going to get these things done.
Mm-hmm.
Because procrastination just feels easier.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're calling yourself out on it, first of all. That, to me, that actually says a lot. It says that you're ready to do something different, or else you wouldn't be calling yourself out, and also to me, and, you know, in this circle. So that speaks a lot to your readiness. And, I hear you on the reasons why you procrastinate. I think it's so super normal. I think you're in really good company there. And I also hear that you want it, like you really want it to be different. The other thing I hear is that you know what your next step is to create a timeline, right? So if what I shared in the Sacred Depths call today around strategizing and blueprinting in particular appeals to you, I would say I would recommend experimenting. Again, bring maiden energy in, right? Just experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Create a blueprint for yourself on the project with dates and with small chunks of things, 30 to 60 minutes. And see how that goes. See if you can follow it for a few days. Notice, even if you don't follow it perfectly, see if you're starting to get more done.
Okay. Yeah, 30 to 60 minutes might work. Because often what I do is I try to do everything at once.
Yeah, that's where people get overwhelmed and they lose their stamina. I really, when I say baby steps, I really mean 30 to 60 minutes. So, like, when I write a sales page, I never sit down and write the whole entire draft at once. Unless I end up channeling it and it just comes out easy, you know. But really, I'll think about the sales page in sections and I'll do one section per sitting, you know, and then I may edit the whole thing in a sitting or, you know, half and half, but I chunk it down as much as I can, and that really helps, and then I don't get so distracted too, and so I'd play, you know, get out of your patterning with this and play with some new ways of strategizing.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Good stuff. Thank you.
Okay, let us know how it goes. All right, I'll take one more question and then give you guys some ideas. Marlene.
Hi. So first I just want to say I'm a fellow procrastinator and try to do it all at once instead of chunking it down first. So yeah, that was helpful to hear. So I want to celebrate that I posted on Facebook about that I'm going to be teaching hand analysis. Yeah, and a lot of people don't know that, especially like my IT coworkers. So that's going to be interesting, but I feel good about it, and I'm glad I finally put it out there, and I did it even though I don't have my website right. I need to totally redo it and all these other things I haven't done, and I'm like, you know what, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
But I just want to pause right there. First of all, yay. For those of you on the call that don't know, Marlene is in Advanced Sacred Depths, and I did a modeling coaching call yesterday. It was all on this topic, and you did it, and I'm so excited.
Yay.
I am so excited for you. And then the other thing I just want to say for anyone listening to the call, I know some of you know Marlene. If you know Marlene, I mean, I know for myself after this call, I'm going to go and give that post some love. So if you can just support her and give her post about her hand analysis some love. All right, keep on going.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I posted that and also about the fact that we're doing a preview webinar today, this afternoon, for the first class that we're teaching. So, because we're teaching it together. There's three of us teaching this first class together. So, I also posted about that, and it's last minute, but I did post it. So, and the next step for me is to reach out individually to people I've done readings before who've expressed interest in learning how to read hands, and you know, letting them know that I'm doing the teaching now and what classes are coming and all of that. So my next step.
So good. I'm smiling cheek to cheek. I'm so happy to hear it. So, so happy to hear
it.
Thank you. Post in the advanced group too, so all the all the ladies know. Awesome.
Okay. All right, I will. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. So let me give you guys, add some ideas to the mix again. Not exhaustive, not meant to do all of these things. I just want to give you different things to be thinking about, and you can kind of pick and choose the actions, you know, that really resonate for you. So last week we spoke about preview presentations, and I wanted to just break down a little bit more some ideas around that, different things that I've done that are helpful. So I went last week into all the reasons why to do a preview presentation. I'm not going to go there, you know, talk about how you have that training, that recorded training on how, but I want to talk about the different contexts of preview presentations. So sometimes you'll host your own preview presentation, right? So for example, I tend to do a lot of preview teleclasses. I'll host it. I'll send emails out to my community. You do all the things to get people in, and I am the host. So that's one great way to do a preview presentation, but there are other ways to do them. So let's talk about some of those ways. I think I mentioned one last week. I think I spoke about when we partnered with a charity, right? That's another great way to host a preview presentation, is to hook up with another organization that has a community, that has a list of people. Tina was mentioning something like that earlier. And so you may or not be promoting this preview presentation to your community, But the idea is that really this is about being exposed to new people from the hosting organization's community. And oftentimes when you do this, when you do this, you want to try as much as possible to be the person dictating the copy that goes out. Like, you prepare copy for the hosting organization to use. I've just seen it get botched up too many times where the hosting organization doesn't really get what the workshop is about, you know, it just whatever it is, and then it doesn't work. You want to, kind of be clear beforehand how many times will this organization mail out for you? Do they have a social media presence? Will they be posting for you? And then you want to give them the copy that they will hopefully not tweak too much. They'll tweak, for their ideal client, their community, but you want to be giving them the copy for all of that as well. But I often, have challenges with my clients if they're looking to bring on more clients or, fill a program that's out in the future. I'll challenge them to find, three different hosting organizations to host them for a preview workshop, or five, or whatever it is. You can do the same presentation at each one of those venues. You don't have to reinvent the wheel each time, but it will give you exposure. It's a great way to give you exposure to new people that you otherwise wouldn't have come in contact with. And, again, just like my two cents on internet marketing, and again, I use a lot of internet marketing. I don't mean to like poke holes at it. It's so valuable. It's so good. But what I have found consistently is that even though I reach fewer people doing preview workshops at a hosting organization as opposed to a big opt-in with Facebook ads, like that will always bring in more people. But even though I reach fewer people at a preview presentation that's hosted by another, organization as opposed to online marketing, those people are, it's not that they're more quality, but they're immediately feeling more connected to me because we're either in the room together or like they're hearing me in this more intimate way. They're feeling my energy. I'm feeling theirs. It's more intimate. It's more close. It's more connected. Those people are more likely to become clients more quickly than just random people that you find from the internet that have opted into your gift, your free gift or whatever it is. Not to say those people can't become clients too. They absolutely do. But oftentimes it's a little bit of a longer process for those people to become clients. So don't underestimate, even if five people show up, if it's five new people that you've never connected with before and they happen to be the right people, ideal clients, you can end up signing everybody in that room on as clients, and that's an evening well worth it in my book. Sometimes more worth it than bringing in a couple hundred or a couple thousand random people who are looky-loos and not really feeling so connected to you and going to take their time to buy, if ever. The other way, the other kind of venue for preview presentations, and this is one of my favorites, I don't think I mentioned this last week, I call them Tupperware parties. Tupperware party is when you ask a client, a current client, or a past client, or simply someone who just really loves you, who has friends that are ideal clients or colleagues that are ideal clients, when you ask them to host a workshop for you in their home, kind of just like a Tupperware party, and you give this free, intimate workshop to these people's friends, and then you make your call to action, it can be so highly effective because now not only do we have this intimacy thing and this in-person thing, but we have a strong referral from someone that loves you, admires your work, and strong referrals ways are quicker leads to clients. So I haven't done one myself in a while, but I have clients that do these all the time. They'll just, you know, ask, again, a friend or a fan that's a client, can you host me? You know, and again, even if it's five people that end up in the room, three, right? It doesn't have to be 20, 30, 80, whatever it is. But you provide a real quality experience for those people. Chances are a lot of them are going to want to have a conversation with you about how they can keep on going. If you have people that aren't local, but that would be good candidates to host Tupperware parties, you can do it virtually as well. And again, like the Tupperware parties are all about the personal touch. You know, you may kind of write the email invitation that your friend will send out, but she'll really personalize it. She'll write why she loves you so much, what's so great about you, why she's taking the time to host this for her friends, you know, and it's almost, it can become just a really, just really powerful event. So Tupperware parties might be something that you want to think about. A couple other things I want to mention. We spoke in class one about referrals. I want to talk now about something a little bit different than referrals. I call it referral partners. They're similar, but they're a little different. And I'll just lay it out for you. So for me, referrals are, you know, I'm asking a client if she, you know, who loves my work, does she have a referral? Anyone she knows that, you know, would be a good fit, right, for example, or a friend or whatever it is. Referral partners are individuals that have communities that contain, have more formal communities, not just friends or colleagues, but individuals who have businesses or organizations that have more, that in their communities, your ideal client is hanging out there. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about joint venture partnerships. I'm not going to talk about that today because that's opening up a whole other thing. It's not so grassroots or guerrilla marketing. But what I want to talk about is the more grassroots way to work with referral partners. Referral partners can be really valuable. Like if you find someone who you hit it off with really well, who you connect with deeply, who respects you and respects and values the work that you do, and vice versa, whatever work they do. If you both have ideal client of the others hanging out in your community, this can be like a golden relationship that produces a lot of prospects for the both of you. So, you know, what can happen in a referral partnership with a referral partner is, number one, they could host a workshop for you to their community, or they can have you in mind as they work with their community and their clients and refer you when they see someone that could really use your services, or they may be willing to send out emails about a workshop that you're hosting, but to send it out to their community, inviting their community to your workshop, or any other concoction of collaboration that the two of you might come up together. So sometimes what I'll recommend to clients, like let's say someone is a massage therapist and they're looking for referral partners, I'll say, you know, do some, you know, first of all, go through your own Rolodex. Who do you know that's a therapist? Who do you know that's a yoga instructor? Who do you know that's a coach? Like, anyone that in their community would have people that want massage therapy, you know, whatever the ideal client is for the massage therapist, right? What can you co-create together? Can it be a Tupperware party, you know, et cetera? And then go beyond who you know as well. We always want to start with who we know, right? We already looked at that on our first call. But, you know, sometimes I'll say, look for 5 practitioners in your town that would be, even if you don't know them, that you do some research, find 5 practitioners you want to reach out to that could be good referral partners. See if you can connect with them, you know, and go from there, right? So if that's something that you haven't tried, that's definitely a place to think about going for sure. All right, let's see. We've got about 15 minutes left. Because I really am sticking to grassroots for these, I'm not going to go into like joint venture partners or anything like that. But I think just the last thing I'll share before we open up for more Q&A, anything that you need support on, well, 2 things. So first of all, I just want to talk about social media for a moment. There's a lot of the internet marketing ways to use social media, you know, funnels and Facebook ads and all that stuff. And again, you know, for some of you, that's appropriate to do. But regardless of whether it's appropriate for you to do all those funnels and ads and all of that, what everyone, you know, just one of the ways to think about social media separate from that that's good for everyone is, again, back to grassroots, right? So what does that mean, grassroots social media? Number one, you know, I shared a bunch of strategies last week, right? So looking through your contact list. And I know, like, a lot of us have, you know, people, like, I use Facebook. Oh, that's my main social media. Need to get on Instagram. I feel a little too old for it. But anyway, you know, there's tons of people I'm connected to on Facebook that I have no idea who they are, right? So that is true. But still, like, to look at who your contacts are on Facebook. And if you get this, sometimes it's just like an intuitive hit, right? Like, I should connect more with this person. Send them a Facebook message. See if you can connect. Have a conversation. Sometimes I, in the past, you know, I see, like, who are the people that are consistently commenting on my posts that feel like they're following me. I may not know them, or maybe I do know them, right? Let me send them a Facebook message. And, you know, it might be a direct invitation to, you know, get on the phone, but it might just be a little more subtle. Like, you know, I really appreciate when you comment on my post. You've shared such insightful things, and, you know, I'm so glad, blah, 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 you know, whatever it is. And I'd love to connect sometime, you know, and if there's any way that I can support you, let me know. Right, just again, using even social media in these grassroots ways. So think about how you're using social media, how you're connecting with people in this world, this internet marketing world. And I fall into this trap all the time, by the way. I have to catch myself. Always like more people, bigger, better, get more people, bigger community, blah, 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 blah. Again, I don't want to knock that, but I just, so often I come back to where have I already put my effort? Where am I already connected? Even, again, if I don't even know that person, you know, personally on social media, but we've been circling around each other for a while. You know, where are the stronger relationships, you know, where things already established. Marketing is all about relationships. You always want to build first on where the strengths are, where things have been established. Whenever I notice that someone is, that I may not necessarily know, but they're commenting a lot on a lot of my posts, and I get this sense they're following me, I'm going to start liking their posts and sometimes commenting on their posts. Again, it's a longer-term game, right? It's not a direct ask, but I'm cultivating relationships in that way. So just sort of like a little note to be thinking about how you use social media. And then just the last piece that I want to mention for today is the difference between shorter-term actions and longer-term actions. So when I am working on my business, I'm strategizing. When I'm working, to fill programming, I'm thinking about future programming, all of that. There are moments where I'm only going to take short-term actions. And what that means is, like, I have a program that's starting in a couple of weeks. I still have 5 spots that I need to fill, right? And it's all going to be more of these direct, guerrilla, the goal is to get conversations going, right? Like, how do I get those 5 people? But generally, for most of the year, unless it's I'm in a mode like that, some of my actions are going to be short-term actions, right? Getting people to buy more immediately, onto a conversation more immediately, preview workshop, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm also always working on, the best way to describe it is longer-term actions. So my newsletters, the more slower cultivation of community, the more slower cultivation of interest, blog posts, things that are not immediate right now. It's going to bring in someone right now, necessarily. Every now and again it might, but just really sort of this longer game of gathering, of deepening relationships, of creating more excitement, creating more investment. And so for most of these 3 calls, I've been really focusing on the shorter term, but I didn't want you to walk away without also just, thinking to be working on some of those longer term activities as well. It's almost like I have a couple buckets when I market. So one bucket is bringing in new community. What are the activities that I'm doing to expand my community? And then another bucket is, what are the activities that I'm doing for the community that's already in front of me to get them more interested and activated and excited to want more from me? And then the third bucket is, for the people that are really activated and interested and excited, what are the activities that I'm doing to get them to buy or to get them on the phone? All right. We've got a couple minutes. Any questions that I can answer? Star 2. Anything that you need? Uh-oh, it looks like my internet is out, so I don't know if anyone's raising their hand. Shoot. I may not be able to answer any of your questions because my internet is out and I can't see you or take you off mute. I'm so sorry about that. I didn't know what happened. At least it's happening at the end of our call. If you have questions, post it in your Facebook group, and I'll make sure to get your question answered. And I'm so sorry about that. I can't get my internet back right now. Oh, no. All right. Hopefully this was helpful. If you have any questions, please post in your Facebook group. I will get to it. And let me know what actions you're taking and what are some of the things you're doing to move forward. If there's any way that I can help, I'm here and would love to. I'm wishing all of you a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.